Loving God, thank you for all you give us. As I speak the words that I've prepared from reflecting on your written word, I pray that in our hearts you will speak to us and talk to us individually about how to use our individual talents in your service. Amen. Yeah, today is harvest, but it's also part of a sermon series about giving. And today's sermon is about giving our talents. And I thought it would be good to have a look at some talented women in the Bible and what their talents were all about. But something went wrong with the reading that I gave to Stephen. Because it was supposed to tell you about the person Esther, but I am going to tell you about her anyway, and I'll have a look later and tell you what the reading I should have given to Stephen was. Because the first person that I'm going to talk about is about Esther. So I'm going to share about some talented people in the Bible who use their gifts for God, and then we'll consider what our gifts are and how we can use them. So the first woman to consider is from the Old Testament reading we should have heard today. The book of Esther sets out her story in full if you want to read it. But if you don't want to read it all, Wikipedia gives us a potted version of the story of Esther. Esther is described in the book of Esther as a Jewish queen of Persian king Ahasuerus, commonly identified as Xerxes I, who reigned from 486 to 465 BCE. And in the narrative, Ahasuerus seeks a new wife after his queen, Vashti, refuses to obey him, and Esther is chosen for her beauty. The king's chief advisor, Haman, is offended by Esther's cousin and guardian, Mordecai, and gets permission from the king to have all the Jews in the kingdom killed. Esther foils the plan and wins permission from the king for the Jews to kill their enemies, and they do so. Now, if you read this in a tabloid Sunday paper, you might read about how pretty Esther was, or that she was a size 8, or that she was bitchy to her servants. In real life today, I'm upset by how the press is treating Meghan Markle. But rather than focusing on trivial matters like her physical beauty, what I take from the story of Esther is that she was an amazing diplomat. Even going into the king's presence without being invited meant that she could have been sentenced to death. She prepared to save her people from genocide by bathing, moisturising and dressing beautifully to be more favourably received by the king. I expect she had a lovely moist cheek. She also prepared for her conversation with the king by prayer, fasting and taking wise counsel. And she bided her time and made a successful strategy to save her people and destroy their enemies. Now, after Jesus' incarnation, there is a pointed emphasis on loving and forgiving enemies. But even though this is a story with much killing in it, I wanted to show that Esther used her talent of diplomacy to great effect. This story is commemorated by the yearly Jewish festival of Purim. She will be remembered forever. Are you diplomatic? Is the person sitting next to you? Can you bring sides together, help to avoid trouble, make peace? Let's look at another talented woman. I want to tell you about Ruth. Ruth also has her own book in the Old Testament, a summary from the Ultimate Bible Summary Collection. Tells us her story more briefly. Ruth remains loyal to her mother-in-law, Naomi, after the death of her husband and in-laws. Naomi decides to return to her homeland of Bethlehem alone. However, Ruth insists on staying with her and adopting Naomi's God as her own. In chapter 2, we see Ruth gleaning in the fields of Naomi's relative Boaz. Boaz, out of compassion and obedience to the law, allows Ruth to glean, but also leaves extra grain for her purposely. In chapter 3, Naomi encourages Ruth to seek marriage with Boaz as a kinsman redeemer. Ruth obeys Naomi and asks for her rights, and Boaz agrees, but mentions that he must first be sure there are no others with first rights. Boaz and Ruth are married, and Ruth conceives a son named Obed, the grandfather of the great King David in the lineage of Christ our Messiah. The talent Ruth displays is loyalty. She's very loyal to her mother-in-law, and also to Naomi's people and Naomi's God. I love this scripture which shows this. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." She becomes the great-grandmother of King David and an ancestor of Jesus, even though she was a despised foreigner to many Jews at the time. A great example of loyalty to all of us. Who is loyal here? Does everybody say that about you? I'd like to tell you next about a woman who was a dedicated disciple. She is half of the famous sisterly pairing of Mary and Martha. Her name was Mary of Bethany. It's easy to get confused about all of the Marys in the Bible. People have often used her as an antidote to workaholism. But she is much more than that. You have to understand the imagery of the passage, which pictures her sitting at Jesus' feet. I found a good commentary on this by Craig S. Keener, which explains my views on this passage and my admiration for Mary of Bethany. He says, "People normally sat on chairs or at banquets, reclined on couches, but disciples sat at the feet of their teachers. Serious disciples were preparing to be teachers, a role not permitted to women. Mary's posture and eagerness to absorb Jesus' teaching at the expense of a more traditional womanly role would have shocked most Jewish men." Reading from the passage, though, I notice it didn't shock Jesus. He said that what she did was right, even if Martha thought her sister was neglecting her womanly duties. Jesus wants us all to be disciples, to learn what he is like, what he thinks, says and does, to spend time in his presence, to become like him and demonstrate him in our lives by the way we live our lives, the way we behave and the way we treat others. Mary of Bethany followed the way of a disciple in the face of societal disapproval and opposition from her family. Have you used your talent in the face of opposition? Maybe you were discouraged from following your calling to be a nurse or a teacher or to look after animals, but you followed through anyway. Let's look at another woman of talent, this time from the early church. Her name is Lydia. Acts 16 tells us about a first European convert to the way of Jesus. Lydia was a successful businesswoman who dealt in purple cloth. She provided hospitality to Paul and Timothy and Silas at her house. Lydia shows us that believers can do good for the kingdom of God by using a variety of talents, not just preaching and evangelism. She fed, watered, and sheltered the man who brought us many important books of the Bible and took the news of Jesus across much of the world. And I might joke now about the talents of a transsexual mentioned in the New Testament. Not really. Although she was never described to be manly, Joanna nevertheless displayed significant crown jewels in providing financial support to Jesus and his disciples. Luke 8:3 tells us that she was one of the women who supported Jesus, and also that she was the wife of Chuser. Chuser was the head of the household of Herod Antipas. Now, Herod Antipas is the one who murdered John the Baptist. He might have wanted to finish off the murder of Jesus too, since his father had failed in his task when he murdered all the babies. Whether or not that was true, the Pharisees tried to warn Jesus to stay out of his way as a dangerously powerful man. But Jesus taunted this Herod in Luke 13, where he says, "Go tell that fox." If you haven't seen it, look at the YouTube video of John Ortberg, "Go Tell That Fox," where he goes into more detail with this interesting Bible passage. But it's this Herod's top man's wife that is going about with Jesus as his disciple and his benefactor from her own, or more likely even her husband's money. Joanna was a brave woman. Are you brave? What about the person in front of you? And let's have another woman from the Old Testament. Deborah. Deborah was respected as a judge due to her prophecy and wisdom. She was the fourth judge mentioned in the Bible and the only woman to hold the office. Judges chapter 5, often called the Song of Deborah, is a poetic account of her part in the defeat of Israel's enemies, which led to 40 years of peace. Maybe you speak truth to power, challenge injustice, or make wise and just decisions with the courage of your convictions. Does the book stop with you? Let's finish our look at talented women from the Bible with one last woman from the New Testament. We learn from the book of Luke chapter 2 that Anna was a talented woman of prayer and fasting, who had now become a very elderly lady who was over 100 years old. Her diligent prayer over decades leads to her recognition of the infant Jesus as the Messiah. She is honoured by Luke by the title prophet. Evidently, her disciplined prayer and fasting gave her great insight. Does your prayer life make a regular part of your day-to-day life? Do you have insights? Do you see answers to prayer? What about the person behind you? I have mentioned Esther, Ruth, Mary of Bethany, Lydia, Joanna, Deborah, and Anna. These were ordinary people who might not have been expected to do extraordinary things, especially since at the time women weren't really allowed to do anything. But they did some amazing things, and they were remembered for helping God. Maybe you feel like that. Perhaps you aren't very important. You might feel like you fade into the background or aren't special. Well, it's not true. We all have talents. Jesus wants us to use these to bring about the full establishment of his kingdom of love and justice. What is yours? And what are you doing with it? Tell me after. Amen.